Well, good morning. This is the last morning, I guess, and I guess I need to hit my home run today. This has got my last shot at it all. And again, I want to apologize for keeping you 5 minutes longer than I should have. My pride probably, I don't know how to regulate my notes and my time, and my pride probably worries I'll run out before my time is up. And I'm like the lady of the house that worries she hasn't made enough food, and if you run out of food, that'd be the worst thing that could ever happen to the lady of the house. So that's where I'm at. But no, the Lord has given me a lot, and hopefully today I can offset it. Maybe I can give you 5 more minutes. We'll see how it goes. But I have something to share with you, and I want to be able to share it. I just like to say that I've enjoyed my time here. You've been a very good audience. I haven't seen any angry faces at me. Maybe I didn't catch them, but you've done very well. Thank you for that. I think that we should go another week. I'm starting to learn some of you, but no, we're not going to go another week. You're all welcome to come visit us at St. Thomas. We are 7 miles west of Chambersburg on Route 30. There's one gas station in St. Thomas. It's a very small town, and our church is right behind the gas station. And I don't know why I'd tell young people directions, because you all have the instruments, you can get there without me even telling you. But you're all welcome, and I would like for you to come and visit us sometime. Today, I'm looking forward to going home to my family. When I get to the end of a work day, and I've been out into the society and the environment of the world, I just love to hit on the Google Maps, go home. That's my place of safety and security. It's a place of warmth and blessing, and home is a valuable thing. Where Christ dwells, it's beautiful. Some of you may not have that privilege, and I feel sorry for you if you don't. Maybe your parents aren't Christian. Maybe your parents quarrel a lot. Maybe the home is not as peaceful as it should be. Maybe the home is not a happy place to go because of your own conflict with your parents. And that's been hammered at here a lot. And I'm going to continue to pound on that nail, okay, if you don't mind. You think they should change, and they think you should change. We talked about appearance the other day. What my experience has been a lot of times with young people in conflict at home has often been over this subject. And a lot of times parents don't want to get into that conflict, and they just let it go wherever it will go. You're not fathers, and I'm not calling you to come to accountability, but maybe you can help the whole situation. And maybe this morning, you have a knowledge of Romans, and you understand Romans 6, and you can lay it out exactly what all that means. And you can quote Romans 12:1-3. But if you don't know how to live it out and surrender in obedience to your parents, it is in vain of all the knowledge you have. What I want you to get a hold of, the gospel message is not a hard message to understand. Some people say, the Bible is such a hard book to understand. Listen, I'm giving you something simple to do. Surrender your self-will. Give it up. Lay it down. If you go home, if just one of you will go home, and you know you've been fighting your parents, and you go home and say, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. I've been rebellious to you, and I want to submit and surrender to you. It will be worth all the hours that I invested in teaching this class. Okay? That would be so precious to me, and you don't have to tell me. I was going to ask for testimonies. I sort of failed that yesterday, and I failed it today. And it's okay. I'm sure that some of you have already surrendered some things in your heart that you thought you should not have. I want you to know this, that to publicly declare it will anchor it deep within your heart. So Listen, make that commitment and make it sure. The value of surrendering. Listen, if you have a home that is not peaceful, your parents aren't Christian, and your parents fight and scrap, you be the presence of Christ in that home in such a glowing and a beautiful way that you can bring His presence to bear upon that whole thing. I want to show you a verse. With wings as eagles. I just saw this the other day. 751, if you want to look at it. I'm only going to read one verse. And that's what Roger has been sharing about opening the windows of heaven. This is maybe a little bit of a different slant to it, about the blessing of God coming down upon you. This is what you need to... Verse 2. With wings as eagles. And this is coming from Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up us with wings as eagles. We want you to soar and fly and to experience all the blessings of God. With wings as eagles, verse 2. Oh, liberty! It'll set you free. With wings as eagles, so cheerfully. Rough winds cannot halt them. No words can insult them. I want you to get a hold of that. If after all my talk you haven't heard anything, you get a hold of this. That what's the verse? Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When you're solidly confident in the Lord Jesus Christ, and someone says a nasty comment about you, it just rolls off like water off a duck's back. It doesn't bother you two hoots. How many of you are like that? Don't raise your hand. I'm working on that one too. Don't make any nasty comments. They bite, don't they? And the more you're confident in what Jesus has said about where you are with Christ, the it doesn't affect you so much, okay? I'm not going to get this pious thing that one, you'll never be affected. Words hurt sometimes. And if you say, well, that was the dumbest preacher I ever heard of, that's all right. I'm hoping you don't say that to me. Don't keep it to yourself. But anyhow, those kind of words. I remember preaching, here I am getting off track again. I remember preaching a funeral sermon. I thought it went very well. And I was so pleased with myself. And we had a girl there from the children's ministry. And of course, it was too long for her. And she said, such a boring voice. And I thought, oh dear, that is me. I have a boring voice. I wish I had a different voice. But anyhow, that's the break. And it stabbed me, okay? That's the lesson I want for you. Your confidence in Christ, nothing will bother you. Okay, I want to give you some more helps in moral purity. And again, I would like to hammer that one home somehow. And I want you to tell you that these are helps. Our moral passions are probably the very strongest things within us. Very strong, and don't deny that. And we need to bring that into subjection. But I'm going to give you some helps for this type of thing. And if you grew up in a godly home, and if you didn't, you'll have to do it yourself. But here's how it works. When you were tired and grouchy and complaining, what's a good dad do with a child like that? Gives him some instructions on the backside. He corrects him. Stop it. You're not going to act like that. Any of your dads do that to you? And what happened? You decided you're going to quit being grouchy and complaining because it's better just to be okay. And it's amazing how that correction, and all the psychiatrists out there should listen to this one. Correction on the backside will just deliver them from their bad moods and attitudes in a beautiful way. What's it saying? Oh, I was going to read these verses first. Let's read Philippians. These are some of my favorite verses. Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. You mark these kind of people in the world. You don't want to follow them. And this is what he said. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Get a hold of that one. And we maybe could talk about people that all they think about is food. You ever know anybody like that? You ask them what they would like to eat and they have a list this long. But I want you to look at it in a sense as a belly, as being their feelings. Their God is their feelings. They run on their feelings. And when parents say, you poor little thing, I feel so bad for you. And all they're doing is pampering their feelings. They're doing a disservice to them. Christians, we operate on our will. We operate on the facts. We don't operate on feelings. Feelings will deceive you and destroy you. Okay, proper parenting will restrict your sweets and your candies and your desserts and make you eat vegetables. Okay? I told you I try to be practical in that. And if it was your choice, I got to quit telling stories. I remember as a boy, when I grow up, I'm going to get a whole bag of candy. I'm going to eat it all by myself. You know, what an idea. My parents restricted me. They did not allow my feelings to rule me. They said, you must eat this. And this is not for fathers. And maybe someday you'll be fathers and mothers. The first discipline you gave your children is to eat your vegetables, okay? And if some of you don't eat your vegetables, then you need to straighten up yourself, or you'll never be able to teach your children to eat their vegetables, okay? Proper parenting. I don't feel like working. And if you ever not feel like working, mom says, weed the garden. I don't feel like it. You will weed the garden. You will go out and do it. I don't care if it's hot. It's too hot out here. Go do it. And I want you to know that if you had parents like that that made you do some of those ugly things, thank God for them. You were learning not to go by your feelings. You were going by what you needed to do. And you learned to work in bad conditions and in horrible things. You just said, I will not go by my feelings. How many of you didn't feel like going to church at times? That was just out. We're going to church. Sorry. That's a good parent. We don't operate on our feelings. I want to share this with you. A disciplined, ordered life. And this is probably off the wall. And I think I have enough time here to get this in. But this is one of the things I've learned in orderliness. And I know that John shared all this. And I'm just going to repeat myself. But this was a unique experience for me. And I'll tell you the story first, and then I'll tell you my story first. I was a farmer at one time, and I always got out of bed first. My wife made the bed when she got out. And then when I started fixing appliances, I didn't have to get up quite as early. And she had trouble sleeping anyhow, and she's an early riser. She likes to work, and so she would be out. So I'm left to make the bed. This was all a unique experience for me. And I pulled my Tom Sawyer trick on that one. Remember Tom Sawyer and he was supposed to paint the fence and he didn't want to. The worst kind of way. And his friend was coming down the road and he did his little artistic thing and made it look like it was a delightful job. I do that with jobs I don't like. I make them fun. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. So I do the bed thing and you pull those sheets and covers in there. You get all the squares lined up the way they're supposed to be and you do it. You make a fun thing out of it, okay? And I read a story, or somebody told me this story, about a Marine. And he was going to be one of those SEALs, high up. And how many of you heard this story? Some of you. And he said, the first day there, you need to make your bed. And you make it right. No wrinkles. Everything has to be lined up. I am a tough, he's this tough macho man. I'm not making my bed. I've got things to do. You will make your bed. And it's one of the finest things about some people that are totally on discipline. They get into the Army, the Marines. You learn to discipline yourself. And that's where parents have failed. But anyway, he learned something. That's the first thing you do in the morning. You get up, you make your bed, and it's neat, and you feel good about yourself. And he wrote a book about it. There's a book out there called Make Your Bed. Okay? What I'm saying is, order and structure in your life, you begin to feel good about yourself and your day ahead of you. Okay, enough on that whole thing. I made my bed very careful in case Eileen heard me and she goes and checks to see how it was. I made sure it was good this morning. Okay, another help. Be very careful about your idle time. What you do in your idle time, try to fill up idle time with productive, careful things. And we could talk a long time about cell phones, and I wasn't hit too hard here, but how many of you in your idle time start surfing the web? And that's the most interesting comment. They call it the web. How many of you ever seen a fly caught in a web? And what happens next? It gets caught and they're wiggling around. The spider comes and begins to wrap it till it has it all wrapped up. Sometimes in idle time, and don't ask me how I know this, you end up doing things you wish you hadn't. You end up just me, after I've messed around on there and haven't gotten anything accomplished, I feel worthless. All I did was waste time. If you can, and again, when we talked about, Jesus said, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. All I'm telling you is, you are in a position different. I never had the internet. I never had a cell phone. But you have to be serious about this thing or your life will be wrapped up in the wrong thing. You have to take a personal responsibility. I believe that parents and church should help you, but you're going to have to take responsibility for this whole package. Another help. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, this was already quoted, but it's a good one. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are good. Here I'm falling apart. Pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And we're going to talk about that a little later, about think on the good things. Just simply rejoice. And I have a story that I'm going to tell you, and it's going to take some time too, but when I was going to teach Bible school one other time, they said, you need to tell lots of stories because that'll help. And I'm sorry, I didn't tell many stories. I gave you a heavy dose of doctrine, but stories tend to impact it better and helps you to get a hold of it. And this is my story where I did not operate on my feelings, but on the truth and the facts. I fix appliances, and I was at this place. It was in Chambersburg, and I had been there, and it was a stove. The oven wasn't working, and it was an old stove. It was one of those apartment-sized stoves, and it needed a thermostat, and I needed to get a generic thermostat, and you have to find out where the wires go because it wasn't original equipment. I wasn't looking forward to this job anyhow. And I knew the place. It was dirty. When I work for I-360, I hope I-360 is not listening. I say, I'm working with grease and roaches, okay? So how nobody wants my job? But anyhow. And I saved that job till the last one of the day, because sometimes you feel like going home and taking a shower. You want to clean up. You feel filthy. So I went into that apartment. I knew what was ahead of me, dreading it the whole time, not very happy about needing to do the job. And I walk in, and it's one of those second floor apartments in downtown, big long steps way up. And my attitude was not what it should be. A bunch of junk along the side, and walking up there, go into the door, and there sits this really big, heavy lady sitting there holding this dog, and it was snarling at me, and she was holding on to it. and didn't help my attitude. And she was sitting there where she could see me in the kitchen. And I went in there, and of course there's this card table in front of the stove that has to be moved to get the stove out. Just boxes of cereal and all kinds of junk on top of there. Moving the card table, and the feet are about ready to collapse, and you got to catch stuff. Cereal boxes are falling off. You move it away, and you bump the dog water dish, and psh, some water comes out. And then you have to move the dog's food, and you get that out of the way, and you slide this thing out. You get the wiring schematic, trying to figure out where these wires going. And I don't know when it was happening. I wasn't very happy. You look out the old stained window, grease all over it, and you look down and thought, oh, what am I doing here? Why? Why don't I just tell her things junk and go home? Okay. And then I thought, you know what? You got this job to do. You may as well get happy about it. You may as well rejoice in this whole thing. And you know what? It was amazing to me. It wasn't me. And this is what I want you to get a hold of. When you say, yes, Lord, He will pour in His power and His blessing. And all at once, something changed in me in a powerful way. And I settled down. I relaxed. And when I settled down, I could think better and where all these wires would go. Still a bit of a challenge. And then the lady asked me, she said, how's it going? And I said, not very good. And it was sometime later, I was working on this, and I heard her sitting there talking on the phone. I didn't listen to her conversation, but all at once I heard her say, the appliance man's here fixing my stove. And he says it's not going very good, but he has a smile on his face, and I said, praise the Lord. You know, what she was seeing was the grace of God. It wasn't me. It was God's grace in me, and she saw God's grace right there. You're going to face many difficult situations in life. And if you operate on your feelings, you're going to growl and complain. And it's children that do that, right? Not adults. But you need to rejoice in the Lord. Just rejoice and say, Lord, here it is. It's a job to do. And praise the Lord. When the world sees you going through a trial that's difficult, and you have a smile on your face, they're seeing the grace of God in your life. Helps for your moral issues. Memorize scriptures. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Give diligence. You're young. You have a sharp brain. I'm making excuses. I'm too tired now to memorize. I used to memorize more. That was an excuse. Sorry. I need to be a good example. But memorize scriptures. Pray without ceasing. And that to me has become a precious thing. A mind that walks in the fear of God all day long. You can be in the fear of God for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And this is not, some jobs require lots of thinking. I used to milk cows, and you could milk cows without thinking about milking cows. And so that was my time for memorizing scriptures. My job's a little different. But when I start the day, I rejoice in the Lord. My favorite verses are Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And that just sets the pace for me. That gives me a good thing. And when you start rejoicing in the Lord and thou art worthy, you will begin to see the sky and the beauty of, how many of you have seen the trees? I mean, you begin to see that more if you look for it. Look for the goodness of God. Look for His, and it's interesting. This morning it was raining a little bit, and oh, it's raining. It's a miserable day. No, it's a beautiful day. God is giving some refreshment for our earth. Look at it, and this is the goodness of God upon us. Pray without ceasing. Bless the Lord. And this one, I guess I'll just share. Let me read Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Singing to yourself. Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Sing. And I'm not a good singer, but if I'm out in the back 40 or in my van by myself, I can sing. The Lord hears my joyful noise to the Lord. That's probably pride that I say I can't sing too, but sing. My thing has been more, I whistle. I love to whistle. I can whistle. And my wife just told me this story, and I'd forgotten about it. We have an old brick farmhouse, and it needed a new window. Well, it needed shifted. What a pain. Shifted a foot in a brick. If you're a construction man, you know what I'm talking about. And I rebelled against doing it, but it didn't fit in our cupboards. Not new cupboards, other cupboards that we were putting in. And so I fussed a little bit. I didn't want to do it. So then I did it, and you have to tear out old bricks, shove the thing over, and then you have to lay brick in. I'm not a mason, if I'd be a mason. Plus, I'm too poor to hire a mason. So I was doing it. And she said to me, well, it mustn't be too bad a job. You're whistling. I said, I got to get through this thing somehow. So that was where I whistled. And this morning, as I was coming in here, and you might think I'm a little wacko too, I talk to myself. My wife sometimes worries about me. But when I'm all by myself, I tell her that it's deep thinkers that talk to themselves. And it's as sure as can be. When I start talking to myself, somebody arrives on the scene and they, you know. So I can sit in my van this morning, and with all these new devices that people have, they don't know if I'm talking on this thing or not, but they're talking to myself. But I talk to the Lord out loud, okay? And you can write me off, but I found it a very refreshing thing to do, just say, Lord, I need your help this morning. I need you to give me what I need to give to these people. And I cry out to the Lord. I think, and there's times when I scold myself. Did you ever do that? I said, Wilmer, stop it. You're not to be like this. We're going to talk about pride. And I think, it rises up in me. Stop it. Don't do that. I scold myself on that thing. Okay, let's move on. I hope that some of that order and structure helps you in your moral character. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8. And John read a lot of these verses last night, and I'm going to try to just hit on the ones that I think are very important. Romans 8, verse 11 is a powerful verse. It says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Now, what did it take to bring Jesus out of the grave? I mean, if that Spirit that brought Him up out of the grave, it says, if it dwell in you. Now, isn't that a powerful thought? That Spirit dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, that's a powerful thought. Now, the question that people like to ask about this, when I get converted, does that mean all of a sudden the Spirit of God just swooped in on me and I no longer do anything wrong? I mean, wouldn't, if that's that kind of power is within me, I'm going to do everything right. I'm sorry, I don't believe that kind of thing. I do believe that a spark comes into you in a way that you have a new heart and a new life, a different motivation, a different understanding of the whole thing. What I want you to understand, and I'll get to that later here, is that when you're battling with the flesh and the spirit, and you say yes to God, it's like, that's all you have to say. My card again. Yes, Lord. All of us, the switch just flipped, and all that power is available to you. But you must say yes. Okay? You must say yes, Lord, and it's all right there for you. There was... Maybe I'll let that go. No, I want to look at that. 514. I think we sang that song of love that will not let me go. What I want you to know, that God does not give up easily on you. And it's not like as if... This is what I want to tell you. That spark within you can become a burning flame that's on fire for God. I'm putting some of this in. I'm not too organized. But when you begin to walk in the Spirit as a young Christian, you stumble and you fall, get up again, and I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And as you have victories in your life, as you become more understanding the Word of God, and you have understand more of life's experience, you're not just walking. You begin to walk in a very easy way. You're not stumbling all the time. And that was pretty heavy too. And after a while, we run. We want to run. What I'm saying is, I think I'm getting ahead of myself, but this song here, "A Love That Will Not Let Me Go." Was it here that they talked about this, George Matheson? I'm mixed up. But George Matheson was a man that was courting a young lady. You know the story. Courting a young lady, and he became blind. And she decided she did not want a husband that was blind, and she broke it off. And it was at the eve or after his sister's wedding, there's so many stories about this, that he was so very depressed because of his own situation. And he wrote this song in 5 minutes. God, oh love that will not let me go. God was not giving up on him. Do you realize how hard God is pulling for you? How much God wants you to win? And I'm going to say this lest I forget it later. You have to run from God to get away from God. You have to say, no God, no God, no God, over and over again. I'm giving that to you, some of you that maybe are sensitive about who you are as a Christian. You have to run from God. You have to say, no, no, no. He doesn't give up on you. And I like this part of the verse. O light that follows all my way, I yield my flickering torch to you. To thee my heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thine sunshine's glow its day may brighter, fairer be. If you feel like your torch is flickering, there's not much life there, just yield to the Lord Jesus Christ and let it burn in a powerful way. I'd like to look at, I wanted to say about saying no to God, those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Remember chapter 1. It's a serious thing when you know what the truth is and you're saying, no, God, I'm sorry, I don't want that. That can be serious, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's a continual rebelling against what God's telling you to. Okay? And I want you to understand that. The actual understanding there is you hold back the truth. If you know the truth in your family, in your church, and you are resisting it and you are doing something else, you're holding back the truth. In society, people who live wickedly and they know better are holding back the truth. Be a person that pushes the truth forward. I'd like to look at Romans 8, verse 6. And this is back to some of the others I talked about. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Again, what's happening in your mind? Where is your mind? Matthew says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Satan's whole design is to get you off of thinking about spiritual things onto the carnal things. And that can be a difficult thing to understand, maybe. I told you that we still have to think some things through. When I started the appliance business, I was green at it. And I had to throw my whole self into learning this thing. And I was feeling like I was possessed with this thing. And I thought, Lord, hopefully this is temporary because this thing is possessing me. My mind is so possessed with that. How many of you ever played with a Rubik's Cube? There was a time when that thing possessed my mind. Some people get possessed with Rook. Is that still a thing or am I too old for that? Some people get possessed with games. I'm getting off track. I'm sorry. What I want you to know is that Satan is out to possess you with hunting, maybe. Whoa. Are you possessed with hunting? It's coming up, isn't it? If you're from Pennsylvania anyhow, I'm not sure. I told people I went into a house and I knew what their theme in life was. He was a duck hunter. I mean, the evidence was everywhere. I think that's what possessed his mind. Romance books. It'll possess your mind. Do you know what a book is? Yeah. It's strange how things are rapidly changing. I talked to you from my experience from way back, but anyhow, hopefully I'm connecting. But what you feed into your mind, I gotta quit. What you feed in is what your mind begins to think. And you have a way of shaping that feed into, I'm glad you're here this week because you're feeding into your mind the scriptures and spiritual teaching, and that's wonderful. Begin, and this again is back to the structure and order in your life. Next week, it might be a little different. And next week, feed into your mind spiritual things. The carnal mind is enmity with God. If it's full of carnality, wrong thoughts, covetousness, you are at odds with God. You're not connecting. The more you can surrender that kind of thing, the better you'll be able to connect with God. It's enmity. It's at odds with God. He has no time for it. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship for this world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And I jump passages on you there in case you didn't know. I'm going to mention a few things here in the beginning. Again, this is my view of the law of sin and death. If you sin, you die. That's how simple it is. You have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for that. And these are the first passages here. I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to try to talk to you about them. I think you know what the passages are. But let's look at one verse there in Romans 7, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. You have a mind and you have the flesh. You have your mind and your body. I'm not going to read all those verses. In Ephesians 3, 16 to 21, the fruits of the Spirit are manifested in you. How you walking, if you're minding the Spirit, there are certain fruits going to come out of your life. If you're walking in carnality, these are the fruits that are going to come out of it. It's very serious what's happening in your mind. Guard it carefully. And don't take it so idealistic that you think you should never have a wrong thought, okay? How many of you have ever had a wrong thought? Okay? But in Noah's day, it said their thoughts were only evil continually. That's all they could think about. Okay, here's this big piece of chocolate cake. You're a bit overweight anyhow. And you're full. And you look at that chocolate cake and you say, oh, I shouldn't. Who said that? I shouldn't. That was your mind. It was your mind. What's your belly saying? What's your flesh saying? Oh man, that looks good. I just want to have it. And the battle is, who's going to win this battle? And how often do they just eat the chocolate cake? Okay, so that's one person. Here's the other person. I mean, he's starving, hungry, and he's skinny. And I have a nephew, and he said, it's just as rude to say skinny to somebody as it is to say they're fat. So if you're skinny, I admire skinny people because I have enough struggle with it. But listen, if you're a skinny person, you're hungry, and here's a big piece of chocolate cake. It's okay to eat it. Okay, do you see what I'm telling you? There is no law that's going to cover this thing that says never eat a piece of chocolate cake. That's not what we're saying. And what Romans 8, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you know how to mind the Spirit of God, you become a demonstration of what God intended for His law to be. It's beautiful. And if I sound like a broken record, that's all right. God's law is beautiful, but get a hold of the intent of the law, what He aims for, what He wants you to understand. And in the New Testament, if you walk in the Spirit, you're beginning to demonstrate the beauty of this whole thing. I wanted to draw that other picture. That clock keeps going, so. But this one helped me a lot. And I'm going to draw it. You probably have seen it before, but that's all right. This is your house. This is your door. And in your house, you have rooms. You come to Christ and you say, Lord, I want to be surrendered to You. I want to walk with You. And you open the door and you let Him in. Okay? And He starts knocking on this door. And He says to you, what about your music? Is your music what it should be? How many of you know what WWJD is? That was a popular phrase back then. And I didn't know if it had totally passed out by now or not. Popular phrase or not a popular phrase, it's a wonderful phrase. And when you're learning to walk, you look at your music and you say, what would Jesus want me to listen to? Take a serious, honest look at that thing. And you say, well, I'm not going to define it for you. I get practical about, whoa, I'll stop on the music business. But is this God-honoring? Does this give me a sense of glory to God, or is this just some heavy beat that's... Okay. Look at it honestly. And you begin to deal with it. I need to get rid of some of this music. There is a lot of good music. You have all kinds of music. Listen to good music. So then it goes here and he says, so he moves on in. What about your sports, your attraction for sports? How's that? Jesus says, this is the spirit and the flesh. This is walking in the spirit. And he says, what about this? And you say, yep, I need to cut out those sports. Too much volleyball. Too much, what's that other thing called that I saw here? Spikeball. Too much spikeball. You're getting obsessed with that. Just back off on that a little, okay? And professional sports ought to be out altogether. I give you this free of charge, okay? Let's look at our clothes. When you go to town, go shopping, and you're going to buy a shirt or a pair of shoes, or a sweater. You make your own clothes, right? So, and you make your own clothes. What would Jesus want me to do? Right there, be honest about what the mind is telling you. How many of you said, I really don't think Jesus would want me to, and you want to so bad, you start making excuses, and you go ahead and buy it. I want to finish this first. Let's say you say, whoa, Lord, you're going too far now. And you stop cleaning house. What happens then? He starts to back out. You're not giving Him any more of your life. That's enough. He will keep cleaning you. What did David... was in Psalm 139. I'm not going to get to my good stuff. I got to get to my good stuff because I'm not going to keep you 5 minutes after. I'll just quit when I'm done. David said, where should I go from the Lord? You're always pestering me. You're always after me. You always want to pick at me. In Psalm 73, he said, other people don't have this, no bands in their death and they're not bothered by God. He's always correcting me. David, when he gets to the end of Psalm 139, what's he say? Go ahead, God. I know You have it for my good. Search me, ransack me, clean house on me. Do what You have to. And that's what I want you to catch, that if you give it to Christ, the most beautiful thing, your life will be the most beautiful thing, and you will soar as wings, as eagles. I have to look at When you start walking with the Lord, this doesn't bother me anymore. I have to admit, I grew up in a home that had the radio. We listened to the Baltimore Orioles on the radio, and my dad would make us turn the beer commercials off in between. It was not a healthy thing, okay? Just stay out of the professional sports. And I, for a long time, I finally, we got rid of our radio. I said, this should not be, I should stay out of this whole thing. And we had gotten the newspaper at that time, and I said, I couldn't help but look at the standings to see where my Orioles were. And praise God, I finally got delivered from that whole mess, and I don't even know what's happening. I think we're in football season. I don't even know what's going on. I don't know any of the names of the team. The Lord, that's, I'm running. I'm running when it comes to sports. And of course, you say I'm old. That's true. That's true. And different things hit different generation. And once you get my age, clothes, well, I shouldn't say they never matter, but clothes are not as important. The peer pressure is not there. Do you know what happens to old people? They want to be a position of honor. They want to be wealthy. There's different levels of this kind of thing. Middle age is more the wealth age. I'm getting to the point where, what did they say? Colonel Sanders started Kentucky Fried Chicken at 68. I'm sorry, I don't have any ambitions like that. I am getting sidetracked. I got to get done. Okay, let's move on. I want to talk about this because some of you have addressed your fears. And I do think that fears are more widespread than we really know. Chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Question, are you led by the Spirit of God? That can be an unsettling question. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I'd like to just camp there a little bit. How many of you had fears and worries about whether you are in Christ or not? Don't raise your hand. I have wondered that myself. It's something that I think is okay to wonder. But what happens is when the fears and worries get you bogged down that you can't even function right, it's too heavy. I think it's okay to examine this thing all the time. Am I walking with Christ? There was a man that was so bogged down with fears and worries and depression that he couldn't even function properly. And you know what he said? God, I'm not doing you any good this way. I'm going to love you and I'm going to serve you. And if you send me to hell, that's the way it's going to have to be. Now, that's pretty hard words, isn't it? But listen, get off of that kind of thing. Again, God loves you extremely. He does not want to let you go. And you're going to have to fight to get away from God. Get a hold of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has sealed your adoption. You are adopted into this family. And you need to examine. If you examine, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Remember, I drew that on the board of Romans 7. What I would, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, is that what you want? That's what I want. Sometimes it's a long, hard process to get there. That's what I want. That my spirit is bearing witness with His spirit. That's what He wants. I don't want to be involved in all those carnal, fleshly things. And I think over the years I've seen God slowly move me into more of that. Beautiful. I can cry, Abba, Father. Don't get hard on yourself. Just carefully and gently press on in the kingdom. If you are discouraged and worried and you're collapsing, get off of it. And I see you people here, and again, I think Mark said you want to. That's what counts. You came here because you want to. And you know in your heart if you're rebelling against God. You know in your heart if you're running from God. There's a serious thing. Don't run from God. We are in a world of chaos. I'm not going to go into all this, but if you have followed the news any, we're in a world that our government feels shaky. The whole world situation feels shaky. There's more wars going on. And Israel and Hamas and Ukraine and Russia. And what in the world are we going to do? And sometimes church situations feel a little shaky too. And I hope you're in a good solid church and that you can find a place there. And I think there's a lot of homes that are delinquent and it's a little shaky too. And I hope you have a good solid home. What I want you to know is, this morning, you need to know where you are with Christ. Or you're going to be lost in the shuffle. If you're in a good church, you might end up, I've seen good solid churches that fell to pieces. You need to know where you're at. When Jesus came to His disciples and He said, whom do men say that I am? And some said this and this, but He said, whom do you say that I am? And then Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm asking you this morning, who do you say He is? Is He the Christ? Is He the one you're going to follow? Is He the one you're going to commit your life to? Know where you're at. And you need to have some understanding of what it means to be a Christian. Let's look at, Mark mentioned this, and let's look at 1 John 2, 26. These are my favorite verses. This is the meat of my sermon. I'm just getting to the meat of it, okay? And I'm sorry, I'm not going to let you go 5 minutes early. I done stole those time. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. That's not the verses I wanted. Chapter 2, verse 26. I'm sorry. 1 John 2, 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. And that was John's sermon. They're out to get you. They're out to put you out. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. And I want to stop right there. That one trips people up. But listen, when you get serious with God, you are honest and open before Him, He'll teach you. Okay? But it's the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And Mark mentioned this. Confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got to say what I have to say quickly here, is a powerful thing, and you want to get a hold of that. And when He appears, then you will know where you're at with Christ for sure. You need to know now where you're at with Christ. Are you fighting against Him, or are you for Him? Are you with Him? Romans 12, we're going to go to there. Quickly, there's a lot of verses in there that I've skipped over, but this is the capstone of the whole thing. And when Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, what I was trying to tell you all week long is right here. And I was hoping that by the time I got through at least the first 8 chapters, it only makes sense to give it all to Christ. It's the only sensible thing to do. Just give it all to Him and die to self and let Him. And I'm not going to look at some of this. The world is trying to press you into its values. Moral values of the world is just wrong. Just wrong. What their view of beauty is often just external beauty, sensual appearance, their view of the lust of the flesh, pleasure, and just plain selfishness, all about me. The lust of the eye, the American dream, and the pride of life. The American dream is to possess. The pride of life is who you are. That's my subject for this morning. But I'm going to quickly hammer away at this. Study that. because I'm not going to have time to lay it all out to you. Pride of life is who you are. Pride is a funny thing. Do you ever see someone that was big and boastful and in your face and he's the haughtiest guy around and he knows everything? And do you ever meet somebody like that? Often, underneath, he's a scared little puppy. Because it all is, if it's a big facade, he's just poof. Okay? And you ever see this other person that can't pick their head up? They're scared to talk to you. They're scared to look at you. They're scared of everything. That's pride too. Because they don't have confidence in themselves. Christ wants you to have full confidence in Him. If your confidence is in yourself, it's going to express itself in different ways. When you have died to yourself, and you have given up on who you are, your reputation, your appearance, your honor, and all that, you will give that to Christ and you will be confident in Him. I'm going to quickly talk about Romans 12, verse 16. This is my favorite verse and I'm going to make it very practical. I will just mention this. One of the first things you have to get over is your appearance. How many of you wish you looked a little bit different? Don't raise your hand. I don't want you to see it because I think most people have struggled with that. When you're happy with who you are, how you look, how many of you that had black hair wish you had blonde hair? And how many of you that had blonde hair wish you had black hair? How many of you wish you were taller? And maybe, most men don't want to wish they were shorter. But how many women wish that maybe they were a little shorter? It's always interesting to me that these young girls that want to be tall. Well, you haven't gotten there yet. You don't really want to be tall. I mean, so anyhow, when you lay that down as what you look like, you realize the kind of pressure. And I want to talk about that. And excuse me, but boy, girl, pressure, we don't talk about that, but it's there. And you have your whole life ahead of you. You men want to live with some lady for 50 years that she's a grouch, okay? Careful what you're looking at. You want a young lady that has learned that the pride of life is not good. Our minds will go to the most beautiful lady over here and the most talented, the most exciting. Careful with that. You know what it does to you? It puts pressure on you. You ladies, what kind of a husband do you want? You have to live with him for 50 years. If you look over here and you pick out the most macho man, the big shot that has lots of money, I'm sorry. He is expressing his selfishness. And she's expressing her pride. I'm sorry, I got to get done. Couple things here. Learn to fight that thing. Your reputation, your whole thing. I think I've said enough. Thank you for your attention. I hope that you got a hold of this battle. This was one of the biggest battles I've ever fought in my life. And I'm still fighting it. If you think somehow this is a battle that you will eventually conquer, no. When I stand up here, my reputation's at stake. I need to just lay it down. Say, here it is, Lord. I can't function if all of a sudden it's me. I want me to get down off of this thing. I want Christ to come forth in this whole thing. And then I told you that if you say that was a horrible message, I'll sink under. And if you say that was a good message, I'll rise up. Listen, you got to get off of that whole thing of soaring up and down with pride and crashes. All right. Thank you again. I've enjoyed my week and I hope that it blessed you in some ways. Press on. Don't give up. That's my message for you. Christ is faithful. His promises are true. And from an old man that Carl says has lots of faith and has a lot, he's a saint. He's still in the battle. And that's what I want to encourage you. It might seem slow at times, but press on. Don't give up. Oh, I missed my main point. This is critical. Mind not high things. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. There's a few of God's special people here. And I watched one young man reach down to him. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And I'm cheating again. I'm sorry. I'll go home and you won't have to see me anymore. But there is a cool group. It was in my time. An in group. The people who are popular. And those are the ones you want to associate with. And those are the ones you want to connect with because they're fun to be around. There are those who struggle with who they are. You know what I mean? I've seen them. They're shy. They're backward. They're not part of the in-group. The finest thing you can do for yourself is stop trying to push up to be with the cool guys and the popular guys. Reach down and befriend that person. The finest thing you can do for yourself. It'll help him. But this will be for yourself. Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.